Thank you for listening, and welcome to When Pigs Fly. Talk from the heart, the mind, and the soul. And I'm your host, Andrew Fetter. And I want to share congratulations for all those, you know, she has a little one now. And it's good to have little ones running around. So anyway, check her out, Angie Madsen. That was from her latest LP. She actually did another one, EP, and I'll find out about that. She actually put together a whole collection of stuff and a couple of new things. And go to her website, angiematsen.com. Oh, yeah, and this is Andrew Fetter, and welcome to When Pigs Fly. And I want to thank you for all listening. No going back and forth, doing a couple here, reruns back here and there this last couple months, moving, shifting, doing all kinds of stuff, because a lot of things are sort of happening. And so sometimes I can't do everything every week, but I'm sorry about that. But I hope and keep it continuing, but next week I will do, actually won't be here next week, so there will be another repeat, and so those who put a request, but I usually do, some people send me emails of what they would like to hear back, and so those are the things I end up replying. I do have special announcements that are coming up. This is going to be rather a busy month in March. On March 17th, I have a special book signing event for those in the Los Angeles area. I'm having it on March 17th on Saturday between 1 and 4. I'll be doing all three books are actually going to have all out because it's just sort of once I don't do them lately as much as I used to. And this is more of a specific occasion. It's more marking for, I guess I did been doing at this books at actually Psychic Eye Bookstore for well over 5 years, so they're doing like a 5-year thing for me for all three books, and I'm going to be doing it in their Los Angeles location in Sherman Oaks, and that's at Psychic Eye Bookstore, 13435 Ventura Boulevard, Sherman Oaks, California, 91423, and their phone number is 818-906-8263. Again, that's at Psychic Eye Bookstore, 13435 Ventura Boulevard, Sherman Oaks, California, 91423. The cross streets are Woodman and Ventura. Love to see y'all to come on down. That's on March 17th between hours of 1 through 4, and that's on a Saturday. And I believe that is St. Patty's Day, so I will try to wear some green. And the following week, I've been asked to be at the Word Fest, which is going to be fun. It's going to be an interesting engagement. On March 24th, I'm having going to be at Word Fest in Ojai. That's on a Saturday. Of course, the following week. It'll be between 12 to 12:30. I will be speaking about, they asked me to talk about Kabbalah. So I'll be happy to do that. Of course, I'll have some of my books out there for sale. Actually, I'll have Spirit, my latest. And I'll be discussing Kabbalah. What is it really? You may have heard of it. What is it? Like I said, what is it really? You may have often wondered who you are, really. Why are we all here, really? Why is our universe, really? Or what is our universe? And why do these events come within our my life, your life, really? Who and why have I encountered this or these relationships, really? What, why, and how come? It's really simple. Kabbalah, the essence. I will discuss and explain the very essence of Kabbalah with its spiritual concepts and understandings in relation to the universe, the soul, thoughts, healing, guides, tikkun chet, which is known as karma, life and death, dreams, out of body, which is the Merkava, numbers, reincarnation within the path of Kabbalah. I will try to condense it to a very brief discussion for 30 minutes. I'm sure I'll be able to do that. I'll also include in there discussions about manifesting along with this practical way to develop and heal oneself toward a greater self-worth, greater love, with a greater understanding of infinite universe and understanding love and joy, utilizing the universe and God's unconditional love that is infinitely abound, which will thus transcend from one individual to all humanity. And this, of course, will be taking place, and of course, I'll be having book signings there at WordFest 2012. And this is in Ojai. This is on March 24th between 12 and 12:30, only for a half an hour, so you better be there. It's at Soul Centered, 311 North Montgomery, Ojai, California, 93023-805-640-8222. That's at Soul Centered, 311 North Monterey. Actually, North Montgomery, I apologize. Montgomery. It's Ojai, California, 93023. And, of course, the phone number is 805-640-8222. And, of course, you could see that on my website. I have it listed over there on my website for When Pigs Fly. Now, I have also a special guest that's coming on. I'm lining up several guests now coming on. On March 16th, I have a special guest. Her name is Brigitte Racine, who is an amazing author who wrote a book called The Mayan Calendar Portal. She is actually a highly well-known expert on understanding the Mayan, in particular in usage of the calendar. So again, mark your calendar for the Mayan calendar explanation. That's on March 16th show. So listen in. It's going to be done live. She doesn't come on too many shows, so she's very limited in coming on. I'm very honored to have her on my show. Now, the reason I'm going to get into the subject of attachments, but the reason why I get into some of these issues, sometimes this actually sort of relates to the last thing I spoke to you about, which is a couple of weeks ago, which is about karma and things, but they're also going to relate. So some of the things I may sound like I'm reiterating or re-explaining or re-discussing, but they do get into subjects that often interrelate. And because I'm going to try to get into this concept so that you have a better reflection and better realization of what they really are. So it's sort of like I explained one thing, and if you didn't hear the last show, it doesn't matter. I sort of merge some things into it so you can understand it even if you haven't heard. Anyway, things, people, relationship, assumption of what would happen if they were not there. Just think about that. Things and people and a relationship. Assumption of what would happen if they were not there. I mean, really, what and why? Money, jewelry, clothes, cars, home, and so on. Our souls, do they really need these? No. Physically, we need things like food, clothing, shelter, correct? But, and we do need these things, obviously, to certain things to live within this matrix of a society because it, too, has its karmic attachments. By the way, these things are all attachments. relationship things. You know, like, even sometimes in our society, we have these karmic attachments that we are necessary, like our transportation. Of course, you need food to eat. You need a job to eat. So you have to have a job. So a job sort of becomes sort of a way of attachment. It's a necessary thing. You can call it that. Or a means of a job. And these two have obvious needs, but they're sometimes the needs become our driving force, and when these needs are a desire, they become the dysfunctional. They become the dysfunctional. That's the attachments. Now, these attachments are our karmic seeds and the weeds that grow out of them in our garden. So, yes. So, why? Yes, again, there are things for our survival. And we look toward means of comfort, of course. But what happens when the simple is just our desire? When we desire things. Now, like I said in my last show, I explained and delved into karma. And attachments are basically held within our karma. Amongst the Taoists and the Buddhists and as well as the Kabbalists, though they may say it slightly different forms, they're saying basically the same thing. And I'll explain. They break down areas of humanity, and this is just sort of like a concept because nothing is absolute, but this is where you get an idea of certain things, like I'll explain. There's called 8 areas of consciousness, 5 of which are physical, which is sort of funny how they always use that 5. I've heard some use 6 though, but basically you have desires from your eyes, your ears, your nose, your mouth, your body. That's your physical areas of consciousness, meaning like you see with your eyes, that vision creates a consciousness. Your eyes your ears is something, it's basically your senses, your nose. When the people go, your taste, you know, smell. Your body is just like you feel when you touch things, your skin, your movement, okay? You feel your nervous system, all that, your body, it's physical. Even a headache, whatever, it's physical. These are states of consciousness. And there's your mind itself. It too has its own consciousness, and that has also desires. What I'm explaining, all these things have desires. Desires in your eyes, you know, want to see something pleasing. Ears, hear something really good. Something smells really good. Something tastes really good. Something feels real comfortable or good in your body. Those are desires. There is also desires within the mind. This is what Buddha had one time elaborated about, fighting and worrying about the desires. And it's not saying that you can't, but we're always human, but these become our attachments. I mean, we're so enthralled by them, we're so encapsulated by them, and that becomes our karma. There is what some call even the mona, which is what we call the subconscious. Now, I already mentioned mind, which would be the 6th, so now the 7th would be the mona, some people call it. And this is the subconscious. This is where, like, and I explain to some people it's called the ego, but sometimes this ego pulls off and becomes what I say alter ego. When you hear me in doing explanations, where you feed that false ego, the false viewpoint, the false opinion, it almost becomes like a separate person. And this happens where people are feeding that ego, feeding, making them feel really good. It's like a loss of identity. So people will have that viewpoint, but that's part of it. So that's like the mona. It's when people have to place out an image so that way people look at them and they're so, like, they'll have to have consistently doing plastic surgery consistently. Excuse me. Plastic surgery. I sneezed on that one. Plastic surgery to make you look really good and all that stuff. And they're so thrilled. You see them fix their nose and fix their ears and fix this. Or they're constantly fixing their hair and fixing this and the way they dress or they have the car. Or some old, like, men or women will have to have be with this person or that person. It's just feeding their ego. You know, it's not even the person who they're being with. They're really feeding their ego. I want to be with the rock star. I want to be with the actor. I want to be with the actress. I want to be with whoever. And they have this really, their compulsive thing. They have to be with this person. That is part of the subconscious ego. Okay. That is in itself attachment. I have to be with this person. And they don't even know who that person is. That actually becomes a karmic attachment. That's another one. A viewpoint, opinion that people are locked into, you know. You know, so stubborn, you know, to paint their opinions. They will not move from it. They don't have an open mind. That can also become attachment. They're so enthralled by their opinion. They can be very extremely left-wing, extremely right-wing. And they're so compassionate toward that. So compulsive by it, that's becomes an attachment. Okay, that is an attachment. The last, but what some call the halaya, it's also what's called the karmic store. Some people refer to it. It's actually like when I do readings, you can see this. Some people call it it's basically the what they call the library, the caustic library, or whatever they call it. That's really what that is, really. It's actually having all the information. You take from lifetime to lifetime all the experiences with you, and with that is all your karma, past karma. That's why you can pretty much, when people read, usually they'll tap into that. If they're reading about past and future events, just off your energy, that's what they're looking at in your karma, in your field. It's called your moa. Everybody can sort of see, I'm not Mona, excuse me, you're Alaya, and everybody can see, and that is, it comes with you over and over and over, and that's where you carry, can be weighted if these karmic things continue on and on and on. Now, the attachments can be looked by their own element, or how they relate to one another, or how they relate to you. They're all done quite differently in retrospect. Now, it's important to understand that when and where and how and why Aeneas' physical embodiments, why we encumber this, why we do these things. Apologize. I think this is the second time I'm doing my show here in my new place. Feel like it's one big studio. What I was saying is we have to understand when, where, and how, why these are essentially happening within our physical embodiment, and why, and we have these many times experience, but we have this, there's a reason for them being within our, why we are in these embodiments. And the simple reason, and I've said this over and over again constantly, but it's really, really simple. It's to experience, to heal, to gain wisdom, and to love. Again, the very only reasons you're in your body, to experience, to heal, to gain wisdom, to love. This is the opportunity. That's why you are in this physical. That's why you chose to go back into these bodies. I'm not making like it's something, you know, 400-page book here, self-help, but it's telling the reality of things what they are. Now, these are the why and how. And it just happens to be the when and where and what, which is actually you. The why and how is the attachments. And what happens to be when and where is and what is you in reaction to these attachments. Get it? The how and why. How and why. I got all these attachments because I got all consumed by them, and how is now I'm going through, how I'm going to go through them, I'm going to start experiencing them, when is the timing, the destined timing I'm going to experience them, where, because when and where is basically time and space are one in the same dimension at that particular, and then what is you, so you are the experience. So when you reckon, when we reconcile to these facts, when we reconcile to the fact that we choose all events, this is actually the first step toward the truth. Denial is the reverse. And that too is a choice. It's a choice to choose to deny that you chose this experiment is a choice. And thus that even itself creates an element of karma and also is attachment. This means taking responsibility for the choices we have made, including experiencing clear experiences in lifetime, this lifetime and past lifetimes. And it is the acceptance of yourself. It is the first step to acceptance of yourself. When you make this first acceptance of the existential reality of ourselves, this is the very step toward the light, increasing your frequency, healing, gaining wisdom of yourself and the universe about you. Simply doing chants and other measures like prayer or yoga, whatever means in itself, and to will not do anything else, but you'll be like your motor's running in neutral. You're not going anywhere. But until you come to realization of your attachments, your karma, and the seeds that have been correctly created, that you have understanding, and rather more correctly co-created by you, then you as much as you do chants, prayers, light, incense, so on, you're just basically revving your engine up, going on, but you ain't going nowhere because your gear is still neutral because you haven't come to the realization. You get it? I mean, that is a major step. You have to recognize your attachments. Otherwise, all that stuff doesn't mean anything. Think about it. It's. I know it's hard. It may even sound pretty callous, but it is in reality. I had somebody that I was counseling, and he said that he can't believe that he created experience to be molested. And when I said, yeah, he did, he goes, what? I didn't make the guy molest me. And he says he's thinking in this terms of this right in front of him, of this choice when he did it, like he was a kid. No. You made the choice before you came in the body to experience it. It's just the reality. I'm just telling you the way it is. And why that was? There's many reasons why that could occur. You know, you entered the body, you took it with you, and you co-created. I mean, you co-created this horror event, universe with you. And there are possible reasons why that karma attachments. And for this reason, you could have been molested somebody else in a past life. So now you're getting molested. It's your reaction to it. My late great teacher, Jenny St. Clair, once said, there are no such things as victims. There are only volunteers. So when there are no victims and only volunteers, what's that mean? It's really simple. We all choose. It's how we react to our chosen events and how they become the outcome of whether we can heal, learn, and learn from them. In reality of the universe, there is no suffering. Just telling you, suffering is a viewpoint where it is that in the mind of Mona, the subconscious. This is reflected from where? All of the your karma and how it's experienced through your eyes, your mouth, your ears. That's where the suffering is. The reaction of that action creates the karma attachment or no, or removes it. So it depends on when you get into a situation that's harmful, how you react toward it. What do you do toward it? That's the why you experienced it. So I'm not just saying you when you're suffering, you're not going, oh, I love being not being masochistic. I want to get more suffering because that too is not a great, it's creating another event. But when an event happens is how you react to it. You have a choice. You always have choices. Do you become compulsive because of it? Do you make it an excuse, the event, for the rest of your life? Or do you learn from and grow from it and help others even from it as well as helping yourself from it? Like overcome it. Now, depending on your reaction is the way this is what happens with the seed of its karma. Is it a new weed in your garden or a beautiful flower? And itself, too, will be eventually cleaned out. you're basically like a, you're trying to make clearing out all your garden into a form of purity. As some Buddhists and Taoists would call it, clearing the garden. You're a gardener. And Kabbalism is like the koan. When you do this, it's pointing, creating a correction in your direction of your path to where you're supposed to be going. It's increasing your frequency. The chet, or the sin, is really the direction, the negative direction, and which is going to a lower frequency. It doesn't mean sin or chet does not mean bad or evil, but you're going in the wrong direction. And it's often said, you reap what you sow. You've heard that? Well, that's where that comes from. Reap what you sow. Think about, you're reaping what you sow. So you sowed a seed. Get it? Which comes from what? What I've been saying. Seed of karma. Seed of attachment. When the plant or the seed is removed from then, a new one will possibly come up. Because, you know, you pull in, there's another seed right below it, another one, until it's finally clear. This is what you try to eventually do. It may sound like never ending, I'm just thinking lifetime, but this is what you're trying to strive for, to clear up that karma. And maybe take one lifetime or several lifetimes. Most, I hate to say, is a few lifetimes. But it's that continued work. And then when you come back, you come in less and less and less. And that's what it's all about, until you're finished. Or whether, and you always have choice again to enter this realm, to redo this on this plane, on this earth. When you eventually clear all your stuff up, you still have choice to come into this earth. And at this particular vortex, at what you assume is linear time. Now, these experiences that happen, or attachments, they're not just, you know, things. They're not just cars and clothes and, you know, whatever. They're also attachments of within your relationships. Look at the relationships you have, your family, your brothers, your sisters, your fathers, your mothers, your lovers, your friends, your foes, your bosses, your employees, your clients, your acquaintances. Every single person, every single soul that you have been contacted with, you've literally been contracted by your co-creation to experience with them. You've co-created that experience. So it's left out there. It's like when somebody reads and they see somebody coming into your life, it's because you've already manifested that experience before either coming in this body at this particular time, or it's been already created, that path for you to meet somebody. That's why somebody be, oh, hey, how am I, you know, I'm meeting somebody? Because you've already sort of predestined, created that map out. You know, what happens to when you meet that person? And oh, he's going to be my lover, or she's going to be my lover. No, not necessarily. You're meeting them, and what happens, happens. And you still have another choice again and again. But you create a path, so your paths will cross. So everything has a reason, and it's, but these relationships can become attachments too, and there's a reason why you meet them, to remove certain things that you've, maybe to release certain karmic events. And sometimes this is why the most tightly knitted karmic events are usually withheld within your family and lovers, because you're constantly going over and over certain things. Your mother and your father could have been you could have been their mother or father or brother or sister or lover or whatever. It's usually held. You have a very tight karmic circle going back and forth. So it's your reaction to them. If you have a bad experience with your mother or father or brother or sister, it's what your reaction toward them is how you clear up that karmic event. If you held hatred or negativity toward them, what are you going to do? What are you carrying with you? You're carrying an attachment. And that will recycle itself again. Get it? You're just recreating another seed and another seed. And then you go, gee, I don't know, how come I'm meeting them again? And it goes on and on and on. And then when you're in foe, it always happens with friends and foes. You know, bosses and employees. Why am I meeting this lover and then it turns out it becomes bad? Why I meet this friend and then he becomes evildoer or whatever, backstabs me. What's your reaction toward it? These are attachments from lifetime to lifetime we need to remove and overcome. And so our reaction that changes these things. Now, are you still in the same kind of relationships over and over and over again? Think of that. That shows a sampling of attachments. Are you meeting what? Who's the person that you're meeting? Now, there are some who are still looking for that Disneyland knight in shining armor person on a white horse to save the day. Are you one of those? Are you still looking for that rock star or that rich prince or that movie star? Are you so infatuated with this? See, the infatuation is in itself an attachment. And with it carries its own karma. Are you looking for that perfect model woman that is like a porno star in bed, but loyal only to you, staying the same way through lifetime, through from time to time, never really aging? See all these illusions? I mean, we have within our society a constant plethora of infomercials, you can call them, that are throwing images and music and certain things and stories and movies and this and that through our senses, which is why I mentioned those earlier, to reinforce attachments. That's how they work. Because within our society, our own society is reinforcing attachments. So it's your reaction. Once you realize that, then you go, oh, wait, I know that trick. It's a magic trick. And you pull away and you elevate and you elevate. This is why I disagree with people say, I can't ever watch TV and pushing away, da da da. Because that in itself makes yourself like an attachment because you're so afraid that you're going to see something that's going to influence you. If you're able to see something without it influencing you, then you've moved on from the attachment, right? So if you're sitting there watching TV and you're so afraid that this image is going to influence you, that fear of that image influencing you in itself is an attachment. You just created a new karmic attachment. So those who say, I can't watch TV because all there's stuff on there and I'm scared it's going to influence, or you tell people it's going to influence you in this way, that's cock-up bullshit. Because in fact, if you're it is influencing, but then now you're creating another one, a fear one. So that's not, all you're doing is changing one karmic attachment to another. And now it's one of fear, which is also not a good thing either. So it's not spiritually helping the person. When they get into the understanding what that is, a magic trick or the influence of it, then they go, oh. Because once you know it, like I said before in a past show about tricks and illusion, you know what it is. This is what I'm trying to show you within attachments. Once you see how we're affected, then you look at, you step back, you can step back outside and look at yourself and see how you really are and what things are going on. In fact, you know, let me ask this. Are you, in fact, in love only with the conditions of what you assume to be in love? Like, does he or she fall in a play card, like a football or a baseball card? I mean, do you love a person for who they actually are or because of what they fall in certain scopes? Do they have money? Do they have a car? Do they have this and this? Do those the things? And it goes back and forth. If a woman wants a guy who has a car, who's rich, handsome, rich, and da-da-da-da, and he falls into this little play card, what happens if he gets a car accident? He's no longer that great. What happens? Something unfortunate happens. He doesn't have all his money like he did before. Does she just drop him? Yeah. But then, see, it goes the other way around. Now, if she wants a play card with this person's like this or like that, and he then obviously by the universe is reciprocating it's the way she's wanting it, wants a girl who's a beautiful, young-looking, meets her at 20, 30 years old, right, or whatever, and like a porno star in bed, and then all of a sudden she doesn't perform like before, or more commonly, she's no longer that 20-year-old hot-looking girl, and then she gets all freaked out when he's now 10 years later, 20 years later, and she's now 30s, 40s, and he wants that 20-year-old that looked like you 20 years ago. Why are you so in shock when you did the same thing to him? So, that's what I'm talking about. That's not love, that's conditions. You fell in love with the conditions of the person, not in love with the actual person. These person may have certain events around them that affect you, that influence, but that's not really being having unconditional love for a person. What about when you meet and come in contact with a situation where there's an abuser or an addict? Then what? Are you always meeting someone that is the same kind of in the past? Are you always meeting an addict or abuser or something like that? Think about it. Why are you consistently having that? That's an attachment when that happens. That is showing you there's an attachment. You have an issue. The issue usually when somebody has an attachment of abuser is because you haven't reconciled to the fact to there's somebody trying to consistently, you don't have self-worth, you don't have self-esteem. It's trying to redirect your attention to change that, to show you that you do have self. You haven't learned to redirect your self-worth and self-esteem, your self-love. Are you always meeting that same type of person? Now, what about when you move from one place to another place and you find yourself in the same circumstances, same stalker, same issues, same situations? Then the issues themselves have become attachments. Do you have all the money in the world and all the fortune? You consistently always have a lot of money. You're always doing really big. Still sad. Still feel things like empty, feel maybe alone inside. So you go spend more and you go buy things and you buy things. That makes you feel good to go buy things. Doesn't tell you something? A major attachment. It's funny how when you talk to people I meet who are like, they say they're so highly spiritual and they do all these like exercises, maybe like magic and chants and prayers, and but they don't walk the talk. They're so attached to certain things, it's ridiculous. I mean, we all have certain things, but they don't even recognize anything. Now, do you want another car, another larger home, or more expensive clothes, or more things? You just gotta have more things? That compulsive to have things? When does it end? It seems like it never, never, never ends. That's attachment. Remember, it is in your eyes, your feet, in your ears, your mouth, your nose, your body. And it's the famous song once said, Jefferson Airplane once sang, Feed Your Head. Remember that song? For those who haven't, this gets back into the day. White Rabbit by Jefferson Airplane. Are we just a part of it? It's so on the nose. When I'm not going to sing it for you because my voice might sing, you guys will turn off the radio. Anyway, or check the pitch. Anyway, it goes, one pill makes you larger, one pill makes you small, and the one that mother gives you, don't do anything at all. Go ask Alice when she's 10 feet tall. And if you go chasing rabbits, you know you're going to where you're going to fall. Tell him a hookah smoking caterpillar has given you the call. Call Alice when she was just small. When men on the chessboard get up and tell you where to go, you just had some kind of mushroom and your mind is moving slow. Go ask Alice. I think she'll know. When your logic and proportion have fallen sloppy dead and the night, white knight is talking backwards and the red queen's off with her head, remember what the Dharma said, feed your head. So what are you feeding, Alice? This is, of course, they were talking about maybe drugs, but I think it was also indirectly talking about things. What are you feeding yourself? Images. Feeding your head. You're planting more seeds, more weeds. I don't think they thought they were really realized what they were singing. They may have had, but that actually had implications of attachments. You know, it's funny how some knowledge and some information people project out without realizing that they have within them, and they'll try thinking of saying something outside, and it becomes actually more profound than they realized. Because they're trying to mean it something else, and it actually means something else even further than they realized. And that's like that song, I think. Anyway, so what are you feeding? Let me ask you that. What kind of seeds are you planting? What more weeds are you planting? More karma? More attachments? Are you putting out there more poor, pity me, old boy? Or I've been abused when I was little? Or are you being the abuser or the attacker, the avenger? What happens next lifetime? If you're the abuser, then are you become the one that's abused? You know, think about that. The one that was tapped. What happens to that one? What happens? When does the cycle all end? The attack becomes attacker, and the attacker becomes the attacked, attackee. So it becomes a vicious cycle. That seems to never end. When, how, what, where, you. You're the one who initially stops it by your reaction to it. And this doesn't happen just with individuals. This is also with from individual to national. For example, in the Middle East, in Europe, in Asia, South America. It's always us versus them. That us versus them, by the way, another attachment. People are so obsessive. Anti-them, or I'm pro-them. That is become an attachment. I'm anti-this, I'm anti-that. David Icke, I'm telling you, using him as them, is total attachment. He's obsessed with this thing. That's become an attachment. Get it? That's not evolving. If you're pro-Israeli or anti-Israeli, you're pro-Palestinian or anti-Palestinian. If you're pro-Republican, pro-Democrat, pro-liberal, pro-conservative, that becomes an attachment. If you're so, it becomes an infatuation. Becomes an attachment. Not saying that you can't strive for certain things you believe in, but when you remember thing about opinion and ego, the way to cut it was when they stop. They realize, oh, we're all the same. And then that stops it, right? In reality, when people start seeing themselves in reality that they're not just, we're just souls and we have these masks called bodies and we're really essentially connected. Then you come to the realization that, oh yeah, well, there shouldn't be no pro-anti. That's reality. Now, so there is an obsession of the anti or you're even the pro. That's an attachment. Yeah, and there's people up there, now I'm talking about you. Yeah, you, and you know who I'm talking about. The ones who call themselves, I'm a peace activist. Or now, like, Occupy Now, the Occupy thing was about unity. It doesn't matter what left wing, right wing, this wing, that wing, da da da. Now it's become a left wing. And where they destroyed the whole movement. I can't even speak up anymore because that was not what it was about. They destroyed their own movement because it now became pro this or anti that, us versus them. And then they're the ones who call themselves on peace activists in name only, and then they're riding on a boat in Gaza. That's not peace activists. Peace means bringing two people together to make peace. That's peace activists. No more bombs, no more missiles, no more rockets, no more fighting. That's peace. Not throwing oil in the fire, siding one against the other. That's not peace. That's pro this or pro that. And anti that. And what is that? That's a karma. You're creating just a karmic seed by doing what you just did. And look at the clerics around the world. they constantly creating attachments. They're not exactly spiritually evolved. When they promote hate and divide, it's my way or the highway. They're calling for violence because this piece of paper was torn or burned or catch on fire. Come on, did you see what people did over burning the Quran with all the violence? Give me a break. You talk about attachment. That is the epitome of going backward. All those people who are, all those Muslims, I hate to say it to you, that you're out there burning and getting all pissed off because somebody burned a fucking book. That's an attachment. That isn't exactly spiritually evolved. I mean, when Buddha was blown up in Afghanistan, you didn't see all the Buddhas burning up, attacking all the Muslim places. When a church is burned down in Egypt, you don't see all the Christians running around the world burning up a mosque. When you see a temple or a synagogue being attacked or burnt or desecrated, you don't see Jews running around burning up or attacking mosques or churches. So give me a break. You've created your own attachment. That is not spiritually evolved. That is not Allah. I mean, you just seriously created another, and then you go, oh, poor me, victim again. Another attachment, poor me. Get it? You literally can see these things. If you step out, you can see, like, the epitome of everything that's gone wrong in the Middle East is the epitome of everything wrong with humanity and its karma and its degradation. From women to treatment of others and such and such, it's constantly the opposite. It's the chet. It's going the wrong way. It's bad karma. It's creating dharma, negative karma. It's creating attachments, creating seeds. It's going the wrong things. It's the wrong direction. It's just stay the way it is. And what happens with these people who are like this way or that way, when these people die and they come back, guess what? They become the ones that they despise and hated. Yeah. You know, all those Muslims who hate Jews and Jews who hate Muslims and Christians who hate Muslims or hate Jews, they end up becoming the ones they despise. That's the irony. That's actually the karmic joke. Because that is the created attachment. This is the cycle that goes over and over and over like a mad thing, and people wonder, why does it keep on going the way it is? This goes from, like I said, from mass to individual to mass. So if you hate or so compulsive with hate or anger with someone, even blaming them for their actions, even by the way of their thoughts, is in a way attachment. Remember, mind is creating attachments as well. If you are so stubborn on your opinion, that too carries attachment. As I have often said, we are like leaves on a tree of light. We have see things differently because we have different views, just as leaves have their own views. But in reality, the truth, we are all connected to the same tree, the universe. We're all connected to each other. That is the reality. I know it's so simple what I'm explaining here. I mean, I didn't write a self-help book with 200 pages that got me on Oprah or some doctor, whoever. Because the truth is, it's simply simple. The process is seen to be the hard part. And many seem to want to run away from, not look at. It is the mirror of themselves. Not dealing with the reality of their own attachments. I mean, I ain't no saint. Never said I could walk on water or speak to a burning bush or leap tall buildings in a single leap or run faster than a speeding boat. Hell no. Believe me, I have my own things. Everybody does. It's recognizing them is what it is. I too have my process of healing to do too. We all do. It's coming to terms of them. You all need to simply look out from the fishbowl of your little fishbowl and get out of it, of your fishbowl, and see who you really are, and not the alter ego one. Not the one that's been placed upon you consistently. The direction of your true self is the direction of healing. The way, Tao, Kapha, being the enlightened one, being the Buddha that you really are. Be your own gardener. Recognize these attachments as weeds and clean your damn garden. Your garden, by the way, is Garden of Eden. That's you. The Bible, this garden that they talk about, the Garden of Eden, even though talking about Garden of Eden, the irony is, in Kabbalism, the irony is the Garden of Eden is really you. It's a metaphor of you. That's what the Garden of Eden is. That's what people don't get. It's funny because they're looking for, like, oh, it's this Garden of Eden. It's like a different place, but it's a description of how we relate to each other and how we really are in the universe, who we are. I mean, that's why the Zohar literally talks about half the book is just about that part. By your choices, you can, by the way, choose to clean it or make it your seeds and weeds. Live in the never-ending saga. Oh, poor me karma, or you can move forward. So it's like your choices. You can choose to clean it up or make more seeds. Like, oh, poor me. I've been abused. I had a rough time. I was born this color or that religion or this way. I'm born in a bad way. Or you can move forward and strive to clean up the garden, embracing the elements of life that you co-created into. Then your reaction to them is the direction to overcome them, and the weed suckers are yanked out. Simple, huh? So I reiterate. When we, I did say we, that includes me too, reconcile the fact that we made the choice in all events that co-created them, this means taking responsibility for the choices, meaning accepting them as they are, our choice. From even before we enter these bodies, these choices, including the very experiences we've even encountered, as I said, before we enter these very bodies that we are currently in, that's when we truly become aware and the healing process truly begins. It comes from first recognizing the attachment. The what, then how you react to it is the how. The questioning remains is when and the when and who is you. So simple, isn't it? It's all about us. We move on. We move to, it's our reaction to things. So anyway, I hope you all understood. I would like to ask everybody who out there or currently listening for my next week's show, because I will not be here next Friday. Please send me an email, flyingpigs@artlover.com, your request of what past show you would like me to replay. Based upon that responses, that's what I usually end up doing. Again, I want to thank for all those who will be coming or you can be coming out to LA or these out in Ventura, LA areas, and if you happen to live there during March, please do come on down and check out my upcoming events. Again, my first event on March 17th, that's on a Saturday at between 1 and 4 p.m. And that will be my book signing event for all three books: When the Angels Have Risen, The Heretic, and Spirit. There will be giveaways. I have some shirts I'll be giving away for what's left of Spirit. I will certainly be giving what's called my Mr. Incognito shirts. But I have a limited amount of those. This is a very limited signing event, and I want to thank Psychic Eye Bookstore for having me, and that's at 13435 Ventura Boulevard, Sherman Oaks, California, 91423. 818-906-8263 is the phone number. And also, I will be at WordFest on March 24th, the following week. Saturday from 12 to 12:30. I was speaking about Kabbalism, but is it really? And that will be at, of course, in Ojai at, we have some books of Spirit there to do some signing events, Soul Center, and that's at 311 North Montgomery, Ojai, California 93023. Their phone number is 805-640-8222. Again, that's WordFest 2012 at Soul Center, and that would be on March 24th at 12, between 12 and 12:30. So be there on time to see me, and I hope I see you, and say, just if you don't, just come on down, say hello, whatever, shoot the breeze. And with that, I want to thank, first of all, BBS Radio, again, for having me on this on their show, for producing it. Been with them for over 5 years now. Can't believe it. 5 years go by fast, huh? And I want to thank all my listeners for the last 5 years and future, hopefully 5 years, who have and will be listening. Of course, that's you. I feel honored to have been doing this show for so many years. And again, thank you, and God bless you all. Love and light to you all, and have a glorious, glorious weekend. Thank you, and God bless. Thanks.